WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. Boeing union workers now in their second week of a strike rejecting the latest proposal from the aerospace company.
Boeing claims its latest offer is its best and final to workers, offering them a 30% pay raise, but the workers who are on picket lines are quickly firing back.
It's garbage.
They want a 40% pay raise, but their biggest sticking point is they want their pensions reinstated, which, like in most companies, vanished in the last couple of decades. Boeing executives say they're trying to work within financial constraints the company is dealing with right now. Alex Stone, ABC News.
Former President Trump campaigning in Georgia today, pledging to give companies bigger tax breaks and to create jobs if he's elected. Vice President Kamala Harris visiting the southern border of Arizona later this week. Helene, now a tropical storm, gaining strength and expected to make landfall along the Gulf Coast of Florida this week. The governor declaring a state of emergency, though, for 61 counties. So far, this is ABC News.
I'm James Kelly with WBZH News. Your news roundup in quick podcast form. Find it anytime on the WBZH website at buzzofthenorth.com.
This is Civic Media News. I'm Savannah Tomei Olson. New numbers show the job market has rebounded in Wisconsin since the pandemic, but it's not equal across the state. The nonpartisan Wisconsin Policy Forum found while overall Wisconsin has more jobs now than it did in 2019, that doesn't mean every county is advancing in that category. 42 of Wisconsin's 72 counties have fewer jobs than they did before the pandemic. That means the state's strongest economic areas, like Dane and Milwaukee County, are carrying a lot of those jobs. And COVID-19 is on the rise here in Wisconsin. It's been spreading more and more since the end of June, according to the state's wastewater data monitoring program. But soon you'll be able to order more tests for free. The federal government is reviving its free tests by mail program. You'll be able to go to covidtest.gov and order 4 nasal swab test kits. All we know is that the program is set to go live in late September. Officials haven't given a specific date yet. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly. The Duluth City Council voted unanimously to approve a flat levy increase of 1.85% at their Monday meeting. According to city officials, the flat levy increase will be paid for entirely by new economic growth, so the city council did not need to raise property taxes for the next year. Residents also used the public comment period to express their support for continued funding of the mobile crisis team. The council will hold a final vote on the levy increase and the more than $100 million budget in December. The Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources is asking residents to get their firewood locally this fall to help crack down on the spread of invasive species. Untreated firewood is one of the most popular ways that invasive species like the emerald ash borer and spongy moth spread across the state. Earlier this year, the last county uninfected by the emerald ash borer had its first infestation. DNR officials are also reminding residents to leave unused firewood behind at their campsites to protect their own property from invasive species. And that's what you need to know. For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly.
The Packers prep for Minnesota. Hi, I'm Jimmy Cusco with Sport, filling in for Mike Clemens. Green Bay is 2-1 heading into this Sunday's matchup with the Vikings. Head coach Matt LaFleur said they know all about Vikings running back Aaron Jones.
He's a problem. He is, and he looks really good. And I've been able to watch him a little bit. Certainly, he's one of my favorite players that I've ever had the privilege to coach, a guy like that. Just in terms of how he goes about his business, and still got a lot of love for him.
Starting quarterback Jordan Love, who practiced all of last week, has missed 2 games with an MCL sprain, but could return this week. Kickoff is at noon on Sunday. The Brewers have 6 games to play in the regular season. They are in Pittsburgh for 3 games starting tonight before a home series with the Mets. The playoffs start in October. And the kickoff times for the next 2 Wisconsin football games are set. They'll be at USC on Saturday with a 2:30 p.m. start. Then they come home to play Purdue a week from Saturday at 11 a.m. Filling in for Mike Clement, I'm Jimmy Cusco with Civic Media Sports.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Mostly sunny and seasonal today with high temperatures nearing 70 degrees. Another clear and crisp night on tap. And with patchy fog possible early tomorrow morning, it'll still be sunny and a warmer day with highs in the mid-70s. And we climb even warmer to close the rest of the week out. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Currently, it's 64.
Don't you wish your life came with a warning app?
Stop. That dog does not want to be petted.
A heads up before something bad happens.
You should not send that text.
Uh-oh. Life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. With early diagnosis and a few healthy changes, you can reverse prediabetes and prevent or delay type 2 diabetes. To learn your risk, take the one-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its prediabetes awareness partners.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
It is National Monte Cristo Day. It's kind of one of those sandwiches, it's like bell bottoms. You just haven't heard about it in like 40 years. But it got me thinking, what's a sandwich that's totally overrated? I'm going to go first, the Philly cheesesteak.
Really?
Yeah, and I'll tell you why. Because I'm spoiled. Because in Wisconsin, we have the brat packed with tons more taste than a Philly cheesesteak.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Dom Salvia.
Next time, Bill Carroll, President, Teamsters Joint Council 39, and Ben Wickler, Chair of Wisconsin Democratic Party. Tune in.
The Dom Salvia Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Up North News Radio.
Live from the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Albaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
Greetings, everyone, all across the state of Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network. This is the Todd Albaugh Show. I am not Todd Albaugh. I'm your guest host, Trygve Olson, coming to you on radio stations across the great state and from Hayward to Hong Kong, Bangladesh to Bayfield on the Civic Media Radio app and the internet for all of you who are watching the stream. And as I promised, I have a special guest, buddy of mine, Dave Palmer, who's with the Center for Ballot Freedom, coming on. But before, and we were telling Dave during the break, we have a little bit of business that has to be taken care of. Mr. Zommers has two tickets to see a professional sports team located in the Fox River Valley, whose name I think I'm not supposed to say.
That's correct.
Even if I'm an owner, which is a little strange to me. By the way, I saw him this weekend.
Oh,
they
really?
Fantastic. Yeah, the Malik Willis era. I'm glad it's only two games. But anyway, Mr. Zommers has some tickets that he needs to give away. So we're going to get that done. And then we're going to have a conversation with Dave about sort of what conservatives might be able to do who are feeling a little homeless in the era of Trump. So, Mr. Zommers, you're the GOAT. You're the Tom Brady of this show. Take it away.
All right. If you've been listening to the Todd Albaugh Show and other Civic Media shows for the last week and this week, it is Civic Media's Go for the Green or Gold Text to Win contest. And you will not be winning tickets to that team this hour, per se. But every hour of the contest, you get a chance to win either some gold jewelry or some green, $100 cash. And this hour, it is $100 cash if you text in a secret word. And everybody who texts in over these 2 weeks gets entered to win a grand prize. A pair of indoor club-level tickets to see the Green and Gold in Green Bay on Monday, December 23rd, against New Orleans. So, the secret word. First, you'll need to get your Civic Media app ready. If you don't have the Civic Media app, you can go to your Apple or Android app store or Google Play store and download it. Just search Civic, C-I-V-I-C, Media, and it'll come up. It's very easy, quick to download. And then you go pick your favorite radio station or whichever one's closest to you. And then on the bottom, there's a little text chat icon. You can click on that, pops up, and then you're going to text in the following word. This hour's special word is football, a nice and easy one. Football is the word for the Green or Gold Text to Win contest this hour, F-O-O-T-B-A-L-L. So if you want a chance to win those tickets, if you want a chance to win that $100 cash this hour, text in football via the Civic Media app.
Mr. Zommers, you got that business taken care of. Now, I want to talk a little bit about, and I think this conversation will be applicable not just for people like Todd or myself or Liz Cheney, who are conservatives who feel disenfranchised and are a little bit homeless. But I think this conversation will be beneficial to everyone across the political spectrum. And I want to start it off by having Mr. Zomers play a quote from Liz Cheney. Liz Cheney was in Madison. She made national news doing an interview with Peter Baker from the New York Times at Ideas Fest by the Cap Times. I want to play for you what she said, and then I'm going to have Dave from the Center for Ballot Freedom talk with us a little bit about some of the challenges and some of the things that could be done if Liz pursues this route. Mr. Zomers, roll the tape.
I think the majority, I don't have any question, that the majority of Americans don't want somebody like Donald Trump to be the president. The majority of Americans really would like to have a president that their kids can look up to. They really would like a president they know is going to defend the peaceful transfer of power. And I think that's where we have to start. Whether it's organizing a new party, it's hard for me to see how the Republican Party, given what it has done, can make the argument convincingly or credibly that people ought to be voting for Republican candidates until it really recognizes what it's done. And so I think, making sure that on an individual basis, we're casting votes for serious, responsible people, that we're encouraging people to get involved and run. There is certainly going to be a big shift, I think, in how our politics work. I don't know exactly what that will look like. I don't think it will just simply be, well, the Republican Party is going to put up a new, slate of candidates and right off to the races. I think far too much has happened that's too damaging.
Well, so the Republican Party was actually born out of the ashes of a failed party. Are you thinking then there has to be a new party here that you're just suggesting just now, right?
I mean, it may well be because, so much of the Republican Party today has allowed itself to become a tool for this really unstable man. And so it certainly has moved away from standing for anything of substance, anything of policy. And I think, we're going to have some entity that actually, can be making the case for the kinds of conservative causes that I believe in terms of a strong national defense.
I think so. We're joined here on the Todd Aubuz Show. I'm Trygve Olsen, guest host, by Dave Palmer from the Center for Ballot Freedom. Dave, Dave and I have known each other for a while, and in the interest of full disclosure, Dave and I work on some stuff together, which is awesome, democracy kind of related stuff. Dave, tell us a little bit about yourself, and then let's get into what Liz is talking about here. And I know you guys do a lot of stuff with fusion voting, which might be, as soon as I heard that, the thought, and it's something you and I've worked on, I immediately thought of that. So give a little bit of your background for listeners, and then let's break down what Liz is saying and some of the challenges that they might encounter and what some of the ways that maybe that could happen.
Sure. Well, thank you very much for having me here today. Pleasure to be here and to work with you, Trygve. And I feel like we're modeling the world we want to see, because my organization is cross-partisan, works with people across the political spectrum, but I have done a lot of democracy work over my career and come more from the left side of things, and I know you come more from the right side of things, and this is the moment where everyone kind of needs to put aside any policy differences and work together to have a pro-democracy coalition so we can go back to fighting with each other under a set of rules, the rule of law, and a place where there's accountability through what the people want. So anyway, happy to be here, and maybe I'll talk more about myself as we have a conversation about what Ms. Cheney raised. But I'll just say quickly that it's probably most relevant is that I've done some work in New York State with the Working Families Party, which is a smaller third party that exists under New York State's fusion voting regime. And I'm going to guess that your listeners don't know what fusion voting is, because most people I talk to don't know. though it once existed in Wisconsin and every state in the country, and was banned by either the Democrats or the Republicans, whichever party was in control. And put simply, fusion just enables minor parties to cross-nominate a major party candidate. And why would you want to do that? Well, third parties are typically a waste of time. They may have good ideas and they run noble candidates, but they're often doomed under the two-party system that we have. Under a winner-take-all system, you often end up with two parties, and third parties just cannot break in. They end up either wasting people's votes or, at worst, spoiling an election, kind of helping elect the least preferred candidate. So they can even be dangerous at times. And I think there's the chance of that, you know, with this election potentially. So I think most relevant to your listeners that I care deeply about democracy. I work with people across the political spectrum, and I have this kind of unique experience with fusion voting. I wasn't part of this political party. I didn't do electoral work, but I was a policy advocate who understood that this party had built up some power through its use of fusion voting, and was able to use that power in a governing mode to move forward legislation. So I see real potential. Should we be able to legalize, or I should say re-legalize fusion state by state for new constructive parties to form, ones that won't be spoilers, won't waste people's votes, but could cross-nominate one of the two major party candidates and send a signal about their particular platform. And so Liz Cheney did not mention fusion, but I hope she one day does.
So the notion, so what you're saying is, with fusion voting, is essentially, say, Liz Cheney, Mitt Romney, and Todd Albaugh, Trigby Olson, whoever, a group of former Republicans came together and said, we're going to form a conservative party. Party that's based on Ronald Reagan's principles of, you know, standing strong in the world, standing up to the Russians, you know, free markets, lower taxes, whatever, contrasting. And the candidates for president, rather than running Mitt Romney and taking votes away from Harris and allowing Donald Trump to win, basically that conservative party could say, we're going to nominate Harris for president, but you can still vote for our party. But those votes will count for Harris, but we might choose to nominate somebody else in the Senate race in Wisconsin. Or so in some places, we might nominate our own candidates. That's basically what it would do.
Correct. I mean, any party, you know, third party can nominate its own candidate now, and a fusion party certainly could. But the first part of what you said, where they're going to form a party, but say they stand for the issues that you mentioned. Say it's, you know, democracy, rule of law, and other traditionally conservative issues. They could offer their line to either candidate. But in this case, you were suggesting Harris. Yeah, that's exactly right. And the great thing about it is, one, you know, what Liz was saying is she feels like there's no chance of bringing the Republican Party back to where it once was. Maybe that's true, maybe not. One thing a constructive fusion party could do is, if that party were actually to form and help to elect Kamala Harris, that might pull the Republicans towards the center. It also would send a signal to Democrats and pull them towards the center.
This is the Todd Albaugh Show. We'll be right back after the break. I'm Trigvi Olson. See you on the other side.
This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Travel back in time and experience the magic of the Minnesota Renaissance Festival. Journey through a world of armored knights, joking jesters, and enchanting fair maidens. Every weekend, August 17th through September 29th, thrill to live combat jousting, feasting on turkey legs, and shopping hundreds of unique artisans. Bring the whole family for unforgettable fun. Get your discounted tickets today at renaissancefest.com. Find your magic at the Minnesota Renaissance Festival.
There was a time when barbecue was perfect. A strong, reliable flavor that could be counted on. But then big manufacturers decided that barbecue needed to be zesty or spicy or sweeter or whatever. If you miss the good old days of great tasting barbecue, we'd like to introduce you to Grandpa's Barbecue. Made in small batches from Grandpa's original recipe. Buy yours online today at grandpasbarbecueshop.com.
Looking for a roundup of the day's important headlines in quick podcast format? Search no more. Find it now on the WBZH website at buzzofthenorth.com. Your news just for the Superior area. I'm James Kelly with WBZH News.
The Dom Salvia Show.
Donald Trump, on his Truthy Social platform, he wrote this, quote, "It was 3-on-1, but they were mentally challenged people against one person of extraordinary genius."
Real man of genius.
Here's to you, Orange Man. Losing by a whisker, then saying you won.
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays from 4 till 6 on the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app.
It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free.
The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Pursuing truth wherever it may lead. With Mr. Aaron Zomers on the board bringing us a little crocus, which says, "I am not Todd Allbaugh, but it is his show." I'm Trigvi Olson, your guest host and regular on the show on Wednesdays. I'm joined by Dave Palmer from the Center for Ballot Freedom. And we're having a really interesting conversation, if you were listening on the other, on the previous side, a little bit about Liz Cheney's remarks in Wisconsin that conservatives might have to form their own new party. And Dave was telling us a little bit about how fusion voting works. And one of the questions we got from listeners, I want to go back to what we were talking about, but one of the questions we've gotten from a couple listeners is, how do fusion and ranked choice voting, how are they similar and how are they different? I know you work on ballot issues. Talk a little bit about the similarities and differences.
So, I mean, one way to differentiate the two, I think, is we think about fusion voting as being a kind of party-centric reform, whereas ranked choice voting is more about candidates. And the problem with that from our perspective is that to build power, one needs a vessel, and a political party can be that vessel. Whereas if someone is elected with ranked choice, once they go into governing, they become one of the major parties. It's not like there's a group of people or, you know, a political party to kind of back them and continue to exist and send signals. And so we're a little bit more focused on party-centric reform rather than ranked choice voting. I think ranked choice voting is a great reform and best used in primaries, whereas fusion, to be clear, is just a general election tool. It's something where once you know who's in the general, parties can pick a candidate from among those running in the general.
One of the things about ranked choice, and this is just my experience, and I'd be interested in your thoughts on this. So, you know, there are now states like Alaska that has ranked choice, and it was confusing for voters at first because it's a completely different voting process. But the other thing that I encountered it quite a bit in Europe when I was working, because in Europe they'll run party lists, and then the people who vote rank within the lists. And I think you're right. It's better for internal party decisions than it is as a mechanism for masses of voting. Whereas it sounds like fusion voting really at the end of the day basically empowers parties, but voters are still doing what they do. They're showing up to vote for a candidate, but it kind of combines fusion, because really those two parties, they're almost like ranked choice. They're giving somebody a way I can express dissent without harming the candidate or without empowering the side I don't want to win, basically.
Yeah. And ranked choice, it does address the spoiler issue, which is a good thing about it. But the broad theory here on the party front, it's interesting, because I had for much of my career considered myself a nonpartisan kind of democracy advocate. And I've come around on this view. My view of political parties for a while, having done a bunch of work in New York, but elsewhere, was that I didn't really love parties either. They seemed to be these big machines that would collect a lot of money, disperse it how they would want, and be fighting against the reforms that we were trying to push. But it's a little bit of a knee-jerk reaction to then think, well, parties are bad. And I think a lot of people right now, they're frustrated with the Republican Party or they're frustrated with the Democratic Party, and they don't like parties at all. And what they want to do is dismiss parties. And we have a kind of maybe hard to swallow pill on this, but we think the solution to not liking two parties is that we need more parties. We need more constructive parties. It's almost like, if you think about capitalism and competition, it's like political competition. We need more parties. It creates more competition. Competition should improve the behavior of all parties, also incentivize more compromise and cooperation. And the point we were making right before we went to break about, Liz Cheney, if she were to form a party and fusion were legal, and you were saying it could stand for conservative values, could back Kamala Harris. One thing it does is it gives a permission structure for disaffected Republican types, moderates, independents to vote for a Democrat when they may not love the Democratic Party, but they're saying in this particular election, we think this particular Democrat is better than this Republican. But in making that vote, you're able to, as a party, send a signal to both major parties and both candidates. You're saying to the Republican Party, we stand for a lot of the values you traditionally have stood for, but we don't like your particular candidate. If you move towards us, you will get our votes in the future. It's also sending a signal to the Democratic Party that while we're voting for this particular candidate that you're putting forth this time, we don't fully support your entire platform. We stand for these more conservative principles. And if you want our vote in the future, you also need to come towards us. So we think the value of fusion, especially in this moment, is that it would be a kind of moderating force on both major parties. And then the last thing I'll just say is big picture in the long term, this point I was making about, there's two parties, that's usually what exists in a winner-take-all system, and they are incentivized to be at war with each other. And they're getting further and further apart from each other. We're trying to cram 330 million voters into two warring camps, and they don't really fit there. We need more choices for voters, more places for them to go. More parties, we think, will also result in a more stable democracy. So that's why we're working with people across the political spectrum. It may do certain things in this moment. In the long term, political parties can pop up across the political spectrum, likely be proportional to the number, their power will be proportionate to the number of voters they have, and they can fight for the things that they believe in through that vessel.
Right. So a party that Mitt Romney in New York, for example, where you're from, a party that Liz Cheney and Mitt Romney ran might say, we're going to endorse Kamala Harris, but in AOC's district, we're not endorsing her because that's just a bridge too far, whereas Harris, foreign policy, etc. Well, thanks, Dave, very much for coming on. This is the Todd Allbaugh Show. We're going to be taking a brief break, and we will be back afterwards on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Up North News Radio.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
This is Civic Media News. I'm Savannah Tomei Olson. While political parties vie for the votes of young people, not as many of them are engaged in the process. Only about half the number of young people in Wisconsin say they're paying attention to politics as compared to other age groups. Matthew Lehner, chair of the College Democrats of Wisconsin, says that's because young people have a lot on their plate already.
You know, young people are facing climate change and are wondering whether they're going to be able to have kids one day. Young people today are part of the school shooting generation. Young people are worried about, you know, how they're going to pay for things given the corporate-driven inflation and the wage stagnation that exists.
Hilario De Leon, chair of the Milwaukee County Republican Party.
Gas prices are still high. Grocery prices are up. Rent is high, so it's hard for them to go and live on their own. Energy costs are through the roof.
Tufts did a study, and it showed of young people in any state, the ones in Wisconsin have the second most power in the election. Now, here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly. Wisconsin Governor Tony Evers visited Superior on Monday as part of his statewide tour highlighting clean energy projects. Governor Evers stopped at the Superior Fire Department to see their electric response vehicles and solar array, which officials say prevents the release of over 267,000 pounds of carbon dioxide each year. Under the governor's clean energy plan, the state aims to reach 100% carbon-free electricity by 2050 and create over 40,000 jobs in the next few years. A number of people involved in a school bus crash in Ashland suffered minor injuries on Monday. According to the Ashland Police Department, all of the occupants on the bus are safe, but some suffered minor injuries and were evaluated at Tamarack Health Medical Center. Authorities have not yet shared how the crash happened, how many students were on the bus, or how many of the people who suffered minor injuries were students, if any. The students on the bus were taken to Lake Superior Elementary School following the crash. And that's what you need to know. For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Zendaya says she's not sure if fame is for her. The two-time Emmy and Golden Globe winner says for some people, the power that comes from fame is part of the draw. And I don't know if that's for me, she said before yelling at her assistant that her water is not room temp. Just kidding. My advice to the star of Dune 2 before she throws it all away to become a regular schlub like the rest of us, try fame for another 10 to 20 years, save your money, and if you still don't like it, then walk away. Part 2 is not even in theaters yet, but director Ridley Scott is already talking about Gladiator 3. Scott says the way Gladiator 2 ends is very similar to Godfather 2, where Michael Corleone finds himself with a job he didn't want, so Scott says he has been kicking ideas around for Part 3. Scott told Premiere Magazine recently that Gladiator 2 is one of the best films he's ever made. The film stars Paul Mescal, Connie Nielsen, Pedro Pascal, and Denzel Washington, and hits theaters November 22nd. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 7 to 9 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Mostly sunny and seasonal today with high temperatures nearing 70 degrees. Another clear and crisp night on tap. And with patchy fog possible early tomorrow morning, it'll still be sunny and a warmer day with highs in the mid-70s. And we climb even warmer to close the rest of the week out. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Currently, it's 64.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
The Second Amendment is designed to keep the power in this country with the people.
It's not the Second Amendment that preserves power in the people. It's elections, you moron. A dictator like Donald Trump that is a king and immune from prosecution. That is what erodes democracy. Kamala Harris and Uncle Tim Walz, they own guns. Nobody's coming for them. Chillax, Glenn. Get yourself some facts.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
I noticed when you buy toilets, they all have like these snazzy names. The ambassador. Toilets do not do any kind of ambassadorship. This is for people who take huge dumps, this model.
The Ultimax.
The Ultimax. Why would you name a toilet that? Just a serial number is fine.
Every single toilet should be called the King's Throne. That's it.
Works. It's a lot easier.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I'm joined by Milwaukee entertainment critic Matt Miller, and I welcome Deanna Donaldson, president of the Warren's Wisconsin Cranberry Festival, but you can just call her El Presidente.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 till 8.
Pursuing truth wherever it may lead. This is the Todd Allbaugh Show. I am not Todd Allball, nor are you. Todd is on an airplane right now, I think, Mr. Zomers, so he may or may not be listening to us. I am Trygve Olsen, usually the color commentary guy on Wednesdays on the Todd Allball Show. I'm here guest hosting tonight. I'm happy to be talking to you from Durand to Dearborn, from, I don't know, Beaver Dam to Bayfield and all across the state of Wisconsin. We were talking about fusion voting in the last half hour with Dave Palmer from the Center for Ballot Freedom. And I know Tom in LA has a question or a comment. So let's go to Tom from LA. Tom, are you there?
Hey, Trygve. You know, you do an
how are
awesome
you?
Job, man. You are a great, great fill-in. You should have your own show. I will second that one. Now, now to get to some serious stuff here. Thanks for putting
me. Hey, wait, before I tell you that, you know what? Wait, hold on one second, Tom. I have to tell you something. So, Todd and I were having a strategic planning meeting because the week before the elections, we're going to be traveling around the state. And I did make a run to get us to Mondovi, but it's not going to happen. And I felt bad about that because I was looking at places that we could potentially do it outside of Eau Claire. So I just, we did think about you. You were a topic of conversation. So if your ears were ringing on Saturday afternoon, that is why. Anyway, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to disrupt.
Oh, not a problem. You know, Durand's only 15 miles from there, so that'd be a really great place. But I'm glad you put that in there. Hey, so here's my question to you. So I vote on policy. I don't vote for the actual party or person. And the thing is, I have a really, really hard time. I voted Republican before, believe it or not, but I've had a very, very hard time ever believing in that party. When I look at the Powell Amendment, I look at First National Bank versus Bilotti and Buckley versus Vallejo, making corporations people. And then, of course, Citizens United put the cherry on top of the sundae. I think the whole problem is money in politics, lobbyists in politics. Since Ronald Reagan, we've had more lobbyists that have taken over our government, and we have more money that gets sloshed around. I don't care if you have fusion, if you have – that's why I like ranked choice voting a little bit better, but fusion or whatever, because if we don't get the money out of politics, it's not going to matter. We have got to get money out of politics. We have to go to public funding of elections. I think all the listeners, all the people are so sick of everyone asking for $2 and $3 here. And what really sucks is it's the billionaire class that really does not want us to vote. And they're the ones that are putting the big money in. And they're the ones that are buying the politicians. And I can't blame the politicians because of the fact that they got to play the game and they got to figure out a way to get elected. And the way you get elected is by putting money, you know, getting money into your election. And
right. So, Tom, I would say this. I think there is probably too much money awash in politics. I'm not a huge fan of public financing. I think that, you know, having people be able to raise small dollars on the internet is important. I do think that the idea that, you know, outside groups, and it's ironic because I'm part of an outside group and, you know, it's the process the way it is right now with the Lincoln Project. But, you know, the interesting thing is Lincoln Project's money doesn't actually really come. It's one of the misnomers, come from big money billionaire type people. Our money comes from a lot of 600,000-700,000 people who give small donations to support us. It's the way the Obama campaign worked. But to one of Tom's points, I think, and I've digressed from the topic that I want to talk about here, but one of the problems that we have in our politics is the amount of money that is, quite frankly, awash in terms of legislators and how much time our legislators are having to spend raising money because of that super PAC environment.
When otherwise they could be doing their jobs.
Correct. And there's a lot of interest groups that have junkets and so forth. I just read an article actually on one. They're all now setting up these nonprofits that basically have members of Congress and their family go on junkets to get around things. I don't know why more states couldn't be like Wisconsin, quite frankly. I mean, I remember when I was working in the state legislature, and this is eons ago, you know, Wisconsin was a state where not a cup of coffee. And, you know, I was on the other side, but Russ Feingold was a driver of that, working with some Republicans. And, you know, that's what the state used to be. It isn't what it is now. But I also want to talk about, so I led into this conversation today, talking a little bit about the polling and how we're seeing, you know, Wisconsin is getting, you know, Vice President Harris was there. Tim Walz seems to be living in Wisconsin. He's going to be a Packer fan by the time this is over, which will be great because there's nothing the Viking fans deserve more than a governor who's a Packer fan, who's gotten religion. But, you know, Donald Trump is coming in on Saturday. J.D. Vance has been there in Wisconsin quite a bit. I don't know, think he's resonating too well in Wisconsin, but whatever. But I want to have Mr. Zomers play a couple of clips, and we're going to talk about them. I'm gonna tell you what's really going on from the perspective of an operative. I'm going to tell you, as somebody who's worked with Chris LaCivita, who's running the Trump campaign on many campaigns, I'm going to tell you, I'm gonna go to a place where maybe, I don't know if it's safe for an operative to go, but I'm going here. I'm going to tell you what they're thinking, and I'm going to tell you how it's being digested at a political level, because I think you all may find that interesting. So, Mr. Zomers, let's start with the clip about saying abortion isn't important anymore.
So, yes, this is Donald Trump in...
Yeah. Where is
Pennsylvania.
He when he's doing
yes, Pennsylvania.
This? Pennsylvania. Because they only go to two states, Wisconsin and Pennsylvania.
And all they can talk about is abortion. That's all they talk about. And it really no longer pertains because we've done something on abortion that nobody thought was possible. And I give those three brilliant, if you think about it, and it's six, but the three that we put in, but six brilliant justices of the United States Supreme Court, a tremendous hand for their intelligence, but also for their courage. It took a lot of courage to do so.
All right. So let's look at this from the perspective of the Trump campaign. I'm going to break this down for you. I'm going to be like, is Tony Romo is the guy who breaks down, or is it to Wisconsin boy? He breaks down football plays. Like, I'm going to be like John Madden back in the day. All right. Here's what the Trump campaign, this is what it says to me. So, if you're Chris LaCivita or Susie Wiles, people running the Trump campaign, you're probably not very happy with the fact that he's going there. I think this is a little bit of Donald Trump audibling because he likes adulation. And it also, though, says to me that they may feel that they have a little bit of a problem with the base, because this is not a winning issue for them. But it's a moot point if evangelical conservatives who are very pro-life are not with him. Now, Donald Trump has been all over the map on it. But the reality is, it's outrageous what he's saying. When there were two women just recently in the state of Georgia who died because they didn't have access to the reproductive care that they needed because there were no physicians that would terminate the pregnancies out of fear for state law. Donald Trump and the Republicans are the dog that caught the semi on Roe v. Wade and abortion. That is just a fact. Now, it is also, and this is, I'm just going to tell you how it is as an operative. If the choice in America is between abortion on demand and late term abortions and no abortions under any circumstances, the abortion rights side will win. What LaCivita and the Republican operatives should be trying to get Trump to do is to be calling for 12 weeks or 18 weeks or some reasonable amount, and then it's between the physician and the woman. But Donald Trump is incapable of doing that, because the truth of the matter is most Americans are actually not abortion on demand. Most Americans are not no abortion under any circumstances. But if they have to choose between the two, they are going to choose for those rights. The other thing is, you know, I would argue that Donald Trump, in saying this from a Wisconsin perspective, he's opening up a can of worms for himself, because there are a whole lot of girl dads like myself who are conservative, who are looking at this issue and thinking there's nothing conservative about what Donald Trump's advocating on that. The truth of the matter is he created the mess. He created the chaos. And now he's trying to say, elect me and you won't have the chaos. Or he's just ignoring it. All right, let's play the next clip, Mr. Zomers. We've got a great clip in Horicon. And somebody, if we have anybody listening in the general Horicon area, Mr. Zomers and I are trying, I know there was a John Deere factory there. Now, granted, I drove around the state with Scott McCallum a long time ago, but I was at that in Horicon at a John Deere plant. But play what he said about John Deere. I'm going to go from the assumption that the Horicon still has John Deere. John Deere still has a manufacturing presence in Wisconsin.
Behind me, John Deere tractors. I know a lot about John Deere. I love the company. But as you know, they've announced a few days ago that they're going to move a lot of their manufacturing business to Mexico. I'm just notifying John Deere right now. If you do that, we're putting a 200% tariff on everything that you want to sell into the United States, so that if I win, John Deere is going to be paying a 200%. They haven't started it yet. Maybe they haven't even made the final decision yet, but I think they have. John Deere is going to, and anybody else that does this, because it's hurting our farmers, it's hurting our manufacturing. And if you do that, you're going to have a 200%
tariff. 200%
tariff?
Yeah, he's basically threatening John Deere with termination of their business if they don't do what he wants. Now, there's nothing conservative about that either, okay? But what Chris LaCivita and Susie Wiles and the high command of the Trump campaign is thinking is, we have got to win Wisconsin and Pennsylvania. So, and, you know, our base likes Donald Trump, tough guy, you know, honest to God, the only fight the man's ever been in was on WWE, and he doesn't even know that that isn't real. But the reality is they like that tough guy, you're fired. What was the show, The Apprentice kind of thing?
Yep, The Apprentice.
So what they're trying to do there is we're gonna create a poster child. We're gonna send a message. Now, it's also helpful in the sense that it's classic strongman, right? Like, that's straight out of Vladimir Putin's book. That's not great from the perspective of the guys running the campaign, but the base kind of likes that. Yeah, stick it to these people who are gonna send my job to Mexico. It's bad for farmers. Truth of the matter is that, first of all, with NAFTA, you kind of have this seamless border across all of them, all of these places. And second of all, like, the cost of these tractors, like, that is part of the cost of that somebody running a farm has to incorporate in. So, like, who's he really helping here? Like, he's not going to help. If you actually think about it, if you get outside of the type one thinking where you just process, yeah, stick it to John Deere if they're sending jobs overseas, what you end up realizing is this is not really very good. But it's an attempt to make a play for those voters. We have a couple of these when we're coming back. I also hope, if you have questions about things that you're seeing going on, you want to ask the operative. That's what we could call this segment. You want to ask the operative what we think, give us a call. 855-752-4842. We'll take your calls. And how long do we have, Zomers? You give me a finger.
Got a little less than a minute right here.
I'm really struggling. I'm not on my A game on the timing of these, Aaron. I gotta get a little bit better at that. But we'll take your questions, and I would like to hear what you across the state of Wisconsin are hearing from the two campaigns. You're at ground zero. Tell me what you're thinking. I'll tell you what those at the high command of both campaigns are thinking. We will be right back on the other side in 2 minutes. On the Civic Media Radio Network, this is the Todd Allbaugh Show.
And there's still time to text in football for the Green or Gold contest.
Good one, Sowers. Yes, text in football.
This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
I don't know about other states, but in Wisconsin, we help our neighbors and love our communities. But California mega millionaire Eric Hovde doesn't seem to get that. Maybe that's why he questioned whether children should be able to stay on their parents' insurance until they're 26. And whether people in nursing homes should be able to vote. Hovde called for raising the retirement age for hardworking Wisconsinites and making obese people pay more for health care. And a Hovde company even spent decades trying to demolish the building housing Madison's oldest family-owned bar, something they finally did this year, shuttering a treasured neighborhood institution for good. That is not how we do things in Wisconsin. And that is why we can't let California mega millionaire Eric Hovde represent us. Paid for by a Better Wisconsin Together Action. ABWT-action.org. Not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee.
Sweet chocolate reward. Sweet chocolate reward.
This is not just the sound of someone picking up a sweet treat at Walgreens. This is the sound of someone picking up a sweet treat right after receiving all their vaccines in one trip. This is the sound of treating yourself, because you protected yourself.
Stop by or schedule both your flu and COVID-19 vaccines today and grab yourself a sweet treat while you're at it. Vaccine subject to availability. State, age, and health-related restrictions may apply.
Out here in the middle of all these acres, it can feel like you're the only person on Earth. And sometimes, that's how it feels when you're going through tough times. Trouble sleeping, your mind racing. So what do? We get help. There are people in our community who are here for us. Sometimes, just talking to someone can make all the difference in the world. Find more information at loveyourmindtoday.org. That's loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.
You're listening to The Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Matt and Air on Air.
Pursuing truth wherever it may lead. This is the Todd Aubaugh Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. I am your guest host, Trigvi Olson. Typically, I am the Todd's sidekick. I'm the play-by-play. No, I'm the color commentary guy on for Todd's show on Wednesdays. But today, I'm guest hosting. We are now down to our last 9 minutes. We're taking calls if you want to ask the operative questions. And in the meantime, before we got to the other side, we were talking a little bit about what's transpiring in the state of Wisconsin. The state of Wisconsin's obviously ground zero for political discourse in the U.S. right now. And you're getting all these presidential candidates coming in, and we're seeing a lot of rhetoric, flamboyant, sort of mean-spirited rhetoric. It's interesting too, because one of the questions I get asked a lot by people, back in Wisconsin, we've got on the line, Ben on the road about John Deere. Let's take Ben on the road to talk about John Deere. Ben, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Go ahead. Let's hear about John Deere. Okay. I'm really interested in what you have to say.
The Horicon plant right now is really slow. What happened was they make the giant, like zero turn lawnmower and stuff like that. And they made so many of them, it's in a surplus right now. You know, they can't get rid of them. The prices are high, and they can't, you know, just can't sell them anymore. I mean, now it's getting towards winter and they're transitioning over, but whatever. But from what I understand, it's the Iowa John Deere that's going overseas, that's going back down to Mexico, not the Wisconsin one. Well, that's what I don't know how much,
the jobs in Wisconsin will be going away if you have a 200% tariff on everything John Deere
exactly.
sells.
I mean, no one's going to be able to afford anything if there's something like that. You know, they're not going to buy a lawnmower. And everyone's speaking out because it's an election season. I go, no, it has nothing to do with that. It's the prices on everything is still high. They're prioritizing what now. What's more important? I'll keep my lawnmower for a couple more years and see when the prices go back, you know, start leveling off. And I know I got to, you know, worry about food, bills, and all that first before the luxury of lawnmower.
Right. Well, I mean, the other thing with lawnmowers is that's a business that's changing. I mean, you know, in a perfect world, if I could convince the missus to move back to Wisconsin, I would want to have a couple of acres someplace, and I probably would want a riding lawnmower that I could go out and ride around on, at least for a little bit. Mm-hmm. But a lot of people, all my buddies are going to these robotic ones where they just, it's like the Roomba of lawnmowers, right? So it's kind of a changing business model too. Right.
And also too, they make the those gators too. So, I mean, it's, you know, it's a little, you know, those big ATVs or whatever. So, I mean, it's just slow. I mean, it's just, you know, things are transitioning from, you know, like the robot, but also, you know, everything's going more green. So why put more money into, you know, gas when eventually you're going to have to switch over to a battery powered lawnmower anyways?
Well, and see, I don't understand why, like, all my lawn and garden gear, most of it anyway, other than the leaf blower, which I inherited from my dad, right? But most of my trimmers, they're all battery powered. Because you get those, you know, it's sort of like a drill. It's a lot easier not to have a cord.
Right.
So I can see that. So tell me this. What else are you hearing across the state of Wisconsin? We're 41 days out. What do you think's going to happen?
I'm a Democrat, and I think people are just fed up with Trump. They're fed up with our legislator not doing anything. And if that happens again, I think everyone's had it. They want, you know, more, you know, I don't know, across the aisle, compromise something, you know, get stuff done, you know, type of thing. That's what
I agree with that,
though.
Too.
I mean, it's just something.
Well, here's the other thing is, you know, and I come obviously from the other side of the aisle originally, you know, but when I used to work for Tommy Thompson, Tommy used to always kind of, you know, rib the Democrats a little that they sucked on lemons and ate limes all day long, but, you know, so they're always sculling, right? But that's what the Republican Party to a degree in the state has become. And I will say, you know, my buddies, most of them had never voted, other than for Tammy Baldwin. Most of them had never voted for a Democrat in their life till they voted for Joe Biden. A lot of them voted for Trump up near River Falls. And, you know, all of them now, they're just, they're really fed up. But the thing, I'll say this about Harris, they were really uncomfortable with Biden because they just felt like he was too old. And I think that's proven to be true. But Harris has actually impressed them. They see her as pretty moderate, pretty common sense, and a really good contrast to Donald Trump. And they're relieved that they don't have to choose between two really old guys, neither of whom seem totally there, you know?
Well, and I think with Harris, too, and well, they can relate more to the Midwest and all over, you know, working, you know, Donald Trump never worked a day in his life. I mean, he's just, you know, but it, you know, I think that's the thing. And then all these Gen Xers, which I am, I'm 46, you know, we're in that age group too now. We're, you know, we're like, it's our voice is going to get heard now, you know, and all these millennials who's been, and, you know, mid millennials or whatever you want to call them, are fed up with all the gun violence and everything else that's been going on. We just want, you know, be able to, you know, work and be able to afford a house and be able to be happy and not be able to, you know, scared all the time.
Right. Well, this is the thing as Gen Xers, and I know we got, Mr. Somers, we got a cutout.
Oh no. I was just saying, we got a little less than a minute left, but yes, thanks, Ben.
Thanks, Ben, very much for calling in. For all of you, I don't know that I can do Todd's bang the drum thing. I don't know. I'm never on in the second hour, Somers. I don't know it. Whatever it is that you're fighting for, keep fighting. Keep banging your drum. This is the Todd Allbaugh Show. I'm Trigvi Olsen. Thank you for sticking with me, even as I've been roughing through this. And I won't see you until next week. So in the meantime, go Pack, go. Beat those purple, Neanderthals, whatever they are.
We'll see you tomorrow.
You're listening to The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH. Pat Kreitlow.
Wednesday morning, a Western Wisconsin school district referendum includes a novel approach to helping their hometown create more childcare opportunities.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday morning starting at 6. Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe.
It is National Monte Cristo Day. It's kind of one of those sandwiches. It's like bell bottoms. You just haven't heard about it in like 40 years. But it got me thinking, what's a sandwich that's totally overrated? I'm going to go first. The Philly cheesesteak.
Really?
Yeah. And I'll tell you why. Because I'm spoiled. Because in Wisconsin, we have the brat packed with tons more taste than a Philly cheesesteak.
Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app. This is the Buzz of the North.
WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward,
and always streaming on the Civic Media app.